That's the wake-up call. I'm not implying that anybody here is asleep. Wake up, awakening, the normal state of consciousness. There's the normal state of consciousness, which is thought. And then there's the state of sleep. And what the normal state of consciousness is relative to sleep, the awakened state of consciousness is relative to the normal state. The normal state, in other words, and this is why for thousands of years the term awakening has been used, the normal state of consciousness compared to the awakened state of consciousness is very much like sleep, or rather dreams, dreamland. So the awakening is simply the awakening out of the dream of thought, out of being totally immersed in that dream. Not that thought does not arise. It still can arise and does arise, and yet you dwell beyond thought in the state of presence, stillness, alert, awake, stillness, in which nothing is known. And yet everything is known. So we've looked at a portal this morning, a portal into that state in which you are no longer trapped in thought. Then that portal is surrender to what is. There's another portal that is continuously here. And that is the state of consciousness out of which these words come. Nothing personal about it. Nobody's achievement, nobody's attainment. That would be to create another form identity around that which is beyond form. There's a state of consciousness out of which these words come. You can tune into that, so to speak. I'm using language loosely. You can't use concise terms here. You can be receptive, tune into, become sensitive to the state of consciousness that could be described. Because you might ask, how become alert and aware of an underlying field of stillness, one could say, out of which the words come, word, the sound comes, it's gone. It's just, they're all pointers. Point out of. And usually when you sit here only identified with thought, you would only be interested in that which arises, which is the words, and you would always be a little bit impatient for the next word to come, the next sentence, the next concept, the next idea. And you would find that we are not proceeding fast enough. The flow of information is insufficient for the mind. So you can detect, if you can detect within yourself a certain impatience or restlessness, which implies not enough, more please, more. That is trapped in mind, trapped in thought, trapped in a thought-based sense of self, looking for more and not getting enough here. And if, on the other hand, a state of alert presence, of just being here in that open, spacious alertness, if that arises, then you become attuned to that field out of which the words come, the unconditioned consciousness. Then, of course, every word carries some past. Words come, words are old, every word is old, and yet something of the unconditioned flows even into the words, and then the words have a certain power that goes beyond any informational value that they may have or not have. So, a portal that is continuously here, but it could elude you if you only look for content during these talks. If you only look for the content in these talks, then you would be missing that dimension that really matters here. The content is only a relatively small part of the talks. So you become attuned to an underlying field, one could say. Another way of putting it, you become aware of an underlying stillness here, whether you perceive it as external or internal, or don't know where exactly it is, a certain stillness. And you notice that underneath the words and in between the words, there is a field of stillness. That noticing, and you might, at first it might appear that that field of stillness is in this room, which to some extent is true. It might appear that that field of stillness is within, comes from this form, which to some extent is true, but really, the moment you notice it, it's in you, because it can only notice itself. It can only know itself. Not through thought can you know or even notice that field of stillness, because that field of stillness is beyond thought and beyond form. And thought is form. So through thought, you have no access to it. And this is why the miracle happens. The moment you are aware of it, you have gone within yourself beyond thought. And you have entered a dimension of consciousness that is unconditioned. Whereas the whole realm of thought and the mind is the conditioned. Consciousness has taken form as thought forms, the conditioned consciousness. What arises here is the dimension of consciousness that we could call unconditioned. And it is there the moment you notice, become aware of, not so much, one could say, what is there, but you become aware, and this is a slightly mystical statement, you become aware of what is not there. And ordinarily, in this world, nobody is aware, not very few, are aware of that dimension that underlies the conditioned, the vastness that underlies the conditioned, that is not separate from who you are, that is who you are. But you can never know it in the conventional sense. People look for self-realization and believe it is a state of knowing something about themselves that they hadn't known before. It is not a state of knowing something in a dualistic subject-object relationship. I know myself. You've already split yourself into two. In that sense, you cannot know that unconditioned. It cannot be known, as it cannot become an object of knowledge. So you cannot, because it is ultimately you, you cannot become an object of knowledge to yourself. Because whatever you can know in the conventional sense is knowing something about yourself, which is the form in which you appear. And so you would know something about yourself if you underwent 10 years of psychoanalysis. You would have a lot of knowledge about yourself, things you didn't know before. Going back to childhood, reactive patterns, all kinds of very interesting things. And so, after 10 years, the psychoanalysts might say, we have come to the end of our treatment sessions, your self-knowledge is now complete. And he would hand you a file, a huge file of containing all the self-knowledge, and you would then know a lot about yourself. And you could say, I know everything about myself. And then you might think, okay, I must be self-realized. But you only forgot, when you said, I know everything about myself, you forgot about the I. Who is it that knows? And what is it that it knows? It knows the conditioned. It's forgotten the knower. The knower. Can the knower be known? No. The knower is the knowing itself. It cannot know itself. becomes very hard to talk about these things, because all language moves in the realm of duality. Even every sentence structure has a subject and an object. This is why sometimes in teachings paradoxical statements are used, or metaphor, or symbols. It's never it, it's maybe a little bit like that. So here we enter, or we allow to arise, that dimension of consciousness that is the prerequisite of all knowing. Before you can know any object of knowledge, there's the field of knowing. And the miracle is be careful with words. Don't think that they are the absolute truth. The miracle is you can know yourself as that, not in a dualistic sense. Let's forget about this now. Let's return to becoming simply alert to an underlying dimension of stillness, so that your total attention is not absorbed by that which arises, the words. And of course, no word is ever going to satisfy you on that level. So when you are fascinated by sense objects and mind objects that arise, not one is ever going to satisfy you. And you would always, any statement that I can make wouldn't be quite enough yet. There must be more. That's not the ultimate answer. Yes, and then what? So you're no longer simply fascinated by that which arises. Here it's the words. Your total attention is not drawn into that. In other words, you're not, your incarnation into that form is no longer total. Because you reincarnate, so to speak, in a wider sense, every time you identify with a thought stream totally, you have reincarnated into that thought stream. Your sense of self is completely in it. So you continuously reincarnate into arising phenomena. It could be external things, experiences, and you're totally, it matters absolutely. And so, one could say, the deeper sense of coming to the end of reincarnation is to no longer reincarnate into identification with form, into seeking yourself or believing that yourself is in a form. And here we are speaking at the moment primarily of thought forms. So to this compulsion to reincarnate always into the next thought stream, to be totally fascinated by it, and always needing the more to make your reincarnation complete and never getting there. That's, we are moving, that is being trapped in that normal state of consciousness. And that is still the majority of on the planet is still trapped in that, but very powerfully something else is arising now, and it's arising here. So the words, you give them attention, but But they no longer have your they no longer have your total attention. There's some attention that you give to the words, but you also give attention to the underlying stillness, even as you listen. And of course, the moment you do that, the unconditioned consciousness is there in you, and your mind becomes still without losing consciousness. You're fully aware, you're aware of the silence, but what really is that silence, or rather that stillness? The stillness is the unconditioned consciousness, awareness itself. And you're aware of that. Now that sounds as if it were dualistic, but it's only because I'm using language. You're aware of awareness when you are aware of stillness. And the moment you pay attention to stillness, you've become still. And that might at first be like a phenomenon outside of you, that you are attentive to, oh. And you may notice there is a certain alertness that comes with that awareness of stillness. And you cannot be aware of stillness through thinking. Thought, stillness does not exist for thought. Thought can come in subsequently and say, oh, that's stillness. How nice. Or it can say, oh, you see, you've lost it already. I had it. Only a moment ago. How can I get back to it? That was such a wonderful experience. And it's not really an experience, because it is, the stillness is always there. So during these days here, learning what that means, to be aware of that underlying dimension, not only in these sessions, and then when you leave here, become totally absorbed again, or reincarnate again totally into arising thought streams and sense perceptions. But carry that awareness of underlying awareness. I'm speaking of things that you can't speak of, that's why it's sometimes a little funny. You carry that with you, not only here, although you can perhaps sense it more powerfully in these sessions, but then you walk out there, into the gardens and the river, and there certain perceptions arise, and you're aware of those perceptions, and some of them will be very beautiful, and occasionally some may be ugly. This is the world. And you watch, and you, underlying the sense perception, is a field of alert, still presence in which the sense perception happens. And that means the compulsion to reincarnate into another thought stream is suddenly not there. You are happy not to reincarnate for a while into another thought stream and to remain there simply as an aware presence in which the play of phenomena, forms, is allowed to be as it is and is enjoyed. But the true joy does not arise from the observed phenomena. They are the icing on the cake. The true joy arises out of that state of presence. There is a very subtle joy in that, which in some teachings been called happiness, but I wouldn't use that word. It might even be a wrong translation. That joy is in essence an intrinsic aspect of yourself. I sometimes call it the joy of being. And so it does not depend on what forms are rising at this moment. So there is, you enjoy the play of forms, but the joy does not come from the forms. If the joy comes from the forms, it's not joy, it's pleasure. Pleasure is something you derive because a new form has come in and makes you feel good for a while. And then it leaves you and makes you feel bad, or the good turns into bad. So if a form gives you what joy, it's not really the deepest, the true joy that is an intrinsic part of your self nature. It gives you pleasure. But pleasure exists in the realm of opposites, and what gives you pleasure will also give you pain, either because it leaves you or because it turns into its opposite, such as in a relationship, marriage, divorce, pleasure, pain, or in business, gain, loss. And so Ramana Maharshi said, and of course that is a translation and it may not be absolutely correct translation, happiness is your true nature. I would retranslate it, and perhaps in the original what he said is closer to that. Joy is your true nature. But don't look for joy. You would create some new object, mind object. You don't need to look for it. No. Simply do not reincarnate continuously. And it's so simple. These sessions are helpful. And they are helpful beyond words. The words are helpful pointers, but there's much more to these sessions than the words. And so, be alert here to that dimension that is beyond the words, because that dimension is also beyond thought. And that is where we are going. to know what that is, which one could describe as consciousness free of thought.
Wow.
And this is the next step, one could say, in the evolution of human consciousness, which until now we've just come to the end of thought, which means humanity, human consciousness being totally dominated, run by, identified with thought. It started, as the myth tells us, in the Garden of Eden, which one could say is a symbolic representation of the arising of thought. They ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evaluate, judge. The arising of thought, loss of Eden, and I'm told the translation of that word, Eden, is place of joy. Thought arose, and it was a great thing. And gradually, over many, many thousands of years, identification with thought came in. Self and thought became one. Mankind had to move through that. Now, that state of consciousness has become more and more dysfunctional. Look at the history of the 20th century. Dreadful. Madness. So the dysfunction becomes apparent now because we are arriving at the end time. You may have seen people walking around, I don't know, they may not happen in India, but in the West, with placards, the end is near, the end is nigh, we have arrived at the end. And perhaps they don't realize how right they are when they say we have arrived at the, well, perhaps they should put a little another word in, we have arrived at the end of time. Because to be identified with thought totally is also to be governed by time, past and future, to live exclusively through memory and anticipation and all that that implies. So, and a completely limited and false sense of identity. We are moving out of that. A new state of consciousness is emerging. This teaching would be pointless. Nobody would even hear it if it were not emerging already. So this form is no more than a midwife, a mid-husband, mid-man. I don't know. Simply to help along the birth process. And not, I'm not here to make it happen. That would be frustrating. Why aren't... And you are not here to make it happen in yourself. That would be equally frustrating. And you would come to the end of the 6 days or 7 days here and say, I was looking for this great spiritual experience and somehow it didn't happen. I was looking and looking and looking. And because you were looking for something and you missed nothing. Oh. So you were looking to reincarnate into some experience and didn't get it. Or if you got it, maybe you got it and say, oh, I had such a great experience there. And then you're back wherever you live. And then a few weeks later, it's wearing off. I wish I could get that back. It's where is it now? That was so great. And then you think, maybe I need to go back to India. Back to India. That's where it is. So the essence of this gathering is very simple, but also very subtle. It easily eludes you if you are too much in your mind. So, not only here, but also out there, be there as a field of alert presence. That which you sense here, the underlying field, and know what it means, the beauty of this, to be free of thought. But don't look for that state. It comes by itself. And in one moment you are free of a million years of conditioning as the unconditioned arises. Because if you had to undo the conditioned bit by bit, you would never see the end of it. There's so much. So the unconditioned arises as the state of consciousness that is free of thought, that all the great teachings, not so directly, point to. Some directly, some indirectly.